Next on BYUSN Pro Football Focus releases their all Big 12 preseason football team. Who made the cut for BYU, and should there have been more Cougars on the list? Who got snubbed? Plus, BYU women's hoops now has their non-conference schedule. Who do they play, and how will it prepare them for the Big 12 in March?
And speaking of that, Mariah Hudgens and John Wardenburg of women's basketball join the program. They will discuss the newly released non-conference schedule and their goals for the upcoming season. Plus, we hear from the defensive tackles coach for BYU football, Sione Puha, on what he's seeing from this BYU defense in fall camp.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. A very happy Wednesday, August 6th, to all of you. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man of supreme focus and professionalism, and he's a family man too, Jason Shepherd.
None of what you just said is accurate, by the way. Look, you and I are in a unique situation where we have cameras in front of us a lot, right?
You don't say.
Yes. Interesting. Looking right into your souls.
Cold glass eye.
But you, like I'm sure, have had those moments where you're trying to stay focused on the camera or an interview, and things are happening around you.
Yep.
I bring you L.J. Martin and Treyson Bourget. On Treyson Bourget's TikTok, he is trying to basically throw off L.J. Martin's interview. For those I'm watching on BYU TV, you can see they're trying to throw him off. Look at that focus from L.J. Martin.
Oh, yeah. Isaiah Glasker just going hard right there. Like, L.J. is dialed in. That's Yale Sarah there, Raider DeMooney. This is the camaraderie you want from your team, Jason.
Yes, that's exactly. That is the good vibes that you want, especially when fall camp can get a little tiresome at a certain point, right?
There's nothing I love more than being on the road in a venue with opposing fans just screaming at me as I am staring into my camera, trying to maintain said professionalism and mental focus with, "You stink! You're a terrible reporter! What do you get at? Nice white pants, moron!"
Is this 45 miles north?
It may have been there. Cactus Utes may have been involved in Tempe as well.
I was
going
to say, the most hostile environment you've ever had to do a live shot in is what?
Probably, weirdly, Tennessee was pretty wild.
I've heard some of the Tennessee stories.
But who was it? It was Georgia Southern in 2022.
Yeah.
That the burrito game when Kalani's like, the fans are throwing burritos at us. I got beverages, libations spilled on me. Like that was wild. That was wild.
Wow.
But nothing will beat the porta potties being brought into my live shot in front of Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas and dropped right behind me.
Like, what? What are you trying to tell me?
How do you stay professional when that's going on? On that note, we're going to do our best to maintain some level of that professionalism and rise and shout for what's trending.
Goes for the end zone and Chase Roberts, and Chase makes the catch. It's a touchdown!
Isaiah Glasker picks it off.
Oh, we're getting closer to BYU football. August 30th, just 24 days away. Pro Football Focus released their all Big 12 preseason team. Wide receiver Chase Roberts, all-star kicker Will Farron, and linebacker Isaiah Glasker all listed as part of that team. My question for you, Jason, is with that big trio in, did BYU get snubbed by not having anyone else on the list? Who should have been, if any, on that list?
Yeah, I don't know if I would say they got snubbed. In fact, BYU was one of, let's see, five teams. BYU, Utah, Iowa State, Baylor, and Arizona State all had three players on that list. That was tied for the most. No other school in the Big 12 had more on PFF's all Big 12 preseason team than three. I think if there were one player that I can certainly make a case for and would not have been surprised to see him on it, was Jack Kelly.
Captain Jack.
Yeah, that's the one that probably stands out the most. Certainly, I think Keanu Tanavas is another name that you could look at, but the one that I immediately went to was Jack Kelly.
Yeah, savvy. Okay, come on. Jack Kelly needs more love, or maybe he doesn't, Jason. Maybe he's that guy that just revels in the idea that he's just outside or just off that list.
He doesn't strike me as a guy that puts too much stock in that.
I don't know if he puts any stock in it. The dude just wants to play football,
yeah,
and he
exactly.
wants to play it at a very high level. So, yeah, I don't think that there is really anybody besides Jack that could throw up the flag and be like, what the heck, man? He's not going to do that. Not to say that BYU doesn't have several very talented players on the roster. I think an off-the-radar guy that might be one of the most, if not the most, undervalued player on BYU's team is Tanner Wall. Like, this is the guy, speaking of Pro Football Focus and game ratings and overall ratings, while PFF might not have his grade as high, the BYU coaches will tell you Tanner Wall typically grades out the highest of any BYU player game to game for a very good defense. It's that guy, Jason.
Yeah.
So he's not going to get maybe the accolades that some of the others do, but I feel like we need to pay way more attention to the continuity and the composure and the presence and the leadership that he brings for the BYU secondary. He is Mr. Steady right there. I'd put him on my All Big 12 team at safety. He's not going to be on a lot of NFL radars, but for what he does for this BYU team, how valuable he is, he's a guy that I feel like deserves more credit.
Okay, so mention, and don't look at your script. Don't look at the script. You may have already seen it, so you may know the answer to this.
Okay.
So please be honest. It's the honor system here on this show, okay?
Okay.
So we mentioned the five teams that have the most, mm-hmm. tied for three. 13 of the 16 teams in the conference had a player on this list. There were three teams that did not.
Ooh.
Do you know the three teams that did not?
I have not seen the script.
Okay, all right. I'm looking at it. I got the answer. Who do you think the three teams that did not have a single player on PFF's preseason list?
A single player.
Zero.
I'm going to go with Houston.
Okay, that's wrong.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, oh man, this is tough. Oklahoma State?
That is correct.
Okay, so that's one of them.
That's one of them.
Does Colorado have a player on the team?
They do. So you've got Oklahoma State. I'll give you, I'll just say one of the Arizona schools.
Is it Arizona?
It is Arizona.
Okay.
It's not going to be not, you know.
Arizona State. No,
Arizona State
very
we mentioned.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So that leaves one.
Oh, man.
Think of a state that you may be traveling to very, very
West Virginia.
Very soon.
No. Very soon?
Yeah. Aren't you literally going to this state?
Cincinnati.
Yes.
Yes, sorry, I'm thinking football trips. No, I'm literally going to ride roller coasters
yes.
in Ohio
yes.
very soon with
yes.
my son.
So
yes.
Oklahoma State, Cincinnati, and Arizona are the only
three schools
of the 16 that did not receive a player on this list.
Mm. Well, the love has been spread around for the most part, so I guess we can't be too upset that BYU doesn't have more than three guys. Another name that BYU fans are going to be asking about is Keanu Tanavasa. Whoa, 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 whoa. If he's one of the highest-rated defensive line prospects in the NFL draft, how can he not show up on the All Big 12
team? That's why I said I can certainly make a case for Keanu Tanavasa to be on this list as well.
He didn't play a full season,
yep.
and he is a transfer, so while his talent is undeniable, we're talking about returning incumbent Big 12 guys that have played the whole season. That's probably why Keanu's not on that list, because he's a transfer and he didn't play the entire season. Otherwise, man, Jason, he has a case to be on that team as well.
Well, and look, they definitely nailed the three guys that they have on that for BYU. Look, Chase Roberts, I have such high hopes for him. I'm so happy that
can they get him the ball? Can whoever plays
yeah.
quarterback...
Yes.
We've talked about this before. If you're in trouble, where is number two on the field?
Well, that's what we saw last year. He was the safety valve. He was the go-to guy if you needed a first down. On that fourth down, how many huge plays when you absolutely needed to move the chains to keep a drive going did Chase Roberts come up with a massive catch?
The dramatic finishes against Oklahoma State and against Utah.
Utah, yep.
Those immediately come to mind.
So Chase Roberts, I mean, a no-brainer on this. Will Farron, the guy's just nails.
He might be the best kicker in college football.
No, I fully expect him to be in that running all season long.
What a luxury. for Kelly Papinga to have on his special teams unit that guy kicking the ball through the uprights consistently.
And then obviously Isaiah Glasker. I mean, they certainly got those three right. But yeah, like there are guys, and I love the case that you just made for Tanner Wall. He's one of those guys that is just, he just makes the right play.
All the time.
He's in the right spot. He makes the right play. He makes the right read. That's, you know, everybody wants to talk about the players that are the flashiest. Yeah. And make, but the guys that are just where they're supposed to be every single time and make the play, make the tackle.
He understands
yes.
angles beautifully,
yes.
which is paramount for a safety.
Yeah. I love the case that you made for him.
All right, those are the players that we believe, if they're not already included, should be on the All-Big 12 preseason team. Just maybe a few of those guys that got left off have an additional chip on the shoulder, Jason, to go and get it done. And so as a secondary question today, we've been talking about how BYU digs down to find the motivation that they typically use so well and relish and thrive on to go out and prove doubters wrong. But what is the biggest chip on the shoulder motivational aspect of this 2025 BYU football team, of everything that has transpired? And it has been a wild offseason. What do you think they are zeroing in on, the laser focus on, and saying they don't believe that we're good? Like, what is motivating BYU football right now more than anything else?
Well, look, I mean, I think the biggest and overarching answer to this is the fact that with the quarterback situation in flux right now and not knowing exactly who the starter is going to be, the national media and all of the shine that BYU had last year, which, by the way, they earned, It's starting to come off from people on the outside looking in. We've talked about this. We talked about the what we expect from the AP poll and where we thought they would be, you know, had Retzlaff, you know, been here this year, and you had that continuity at that position. But the fact that there is a change, how far everybody's dropping BYU down on all these buy and sell lists, and BYU's now on the sell list by some. I mean, all that stuff. So that's certainly going to be a chip on the shoulder motivating factor. The other thing that really stands out for me is we've talked so much about the amount of production that is returning, and it's on both sides of the football. You've got a lot of players that will be on the field this year that played last year, and they know how close they came to playing in Arlington and being in the college football playoff. They were a play or two away from that happening. They should have been in the college football playoff regardless. They deserve to be in over SMU. The Kansas game, you know, we'll all look back on that Kansas game as what could have been.
Pain.
I think they know how close they were for all of those things to be reality. And to me, that is massive motivation for this team.
I believe it was the athletic director, Brian Santiago, that yesterday on this program said, we were 1 to 2 plays away from being in the college football playoff. 1 to 2 plays,
yeah.
Not games.
Yes.
Plays. It's crazy how close, how razor thin that line is between getting into the CFP and being just outside. And I know it was fun to be the team that was, you know, disrespected, and all the national writers were saying after BYU beat up on Colorado in the Alamo Bowl, man, BYU really should have been way more strongly considered for the CFP. They won at SMU, for crying out loud. All these, this rhetoric that was generated, that was great. But ultimately, it's like, BYU's in a position where they were so close.
Yeah.
They were so close. So I like that angle. You brought up the quarterbacks as well. How much was Jake Retzlaff worth? Apparently, to some, it was as many as 1 to 2 wins and as many as 30 spots in the rankings.
And do you think it is specifically Retzlaff, or is it just the fact that you would have had a veteran quarterback? Do you think it's more the position and the situation?
It's the continuity.
Yeah.
Stay old, get old. You bring back your returning starting quarterback for an offense that has most of their primary weapons back. and you got the guy who's going to get everyone in the right position at the right time.
It's a guy's been through the battles.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And we all anticipated that Jake was going to take a step forward.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That his completion percentage would get better, that his touchdown to interception ratio would improve. But all of that's off the table now. So I understand why the national media says, okay, well, BYU is not a top 25 team anymore. And yeah, they probably go from a team that's a legitimate Big 12 championship contender to, in their minds, a bowl team that wins 7, maybe 8 games and they finish like 6th or 7th in the conference. That to me is a massive motivating factor for BYU. Like that one, because one guy, I know, very important position, leaves, then all of a sudden BYU is a non-factor when it comes to real championship contenders. Like that would bother me. If I were a player, it's like, dude, we're a team.
It minimizes the production of everybody else on the field.
Well, the defense is saying, look, we set up that offense and Jake with crazy good field position all year. BYU had one of the best, if not the best, average starting field position of any Big 12 team because of the defense and because of the turnovers and the chaos and the havoc they generated. So if I'm the defense, it's like, it's a team sport. Like, we did more than our part. That would bother me. And straight up that number from the odds makers that says BYU's over-under win total is 6.5. I know it's not the 4.5 that we saw last year. I made a shirt, for crying out loud, a custom shirt that said 4.5 wins, which I will break out at some point in the coming weeks. But if I'm a guy and I'm saying, really? Like, we just finished number 13? We went 11-2? And now you're saying, like, 6.5 wins. Come on. That would bother me. I would remind myself of that often. Because 6.5 wins, Jason, might not be even good enough to finish in the top half of the 16-team Big 12.
Right.
What the heck, man? Yeah. Like, that irritates me. That would really bother me if I were a player. So those two things, along with what you mentioned of being so close, I believe are what is generating this chip on the shoulder and that added motivation for BYU.
Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
We want you to answer the same question. What do you think is the number one chip on the shoulder motivational factor for BYU football this season? We're 24 days away from game number one against Portland State on the night of August 30th, 6 p.m. local time kickoff. At Mac the Red 53 on X says, with losing Jake Retzlaff and being so close to the playoff last season, I think that will be one of the biggest motivators to prove that they can actually do it. With what they are bringing back, it's only added fuel to the fire. Right in line with what we were just talking about.
Could not agree more.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram to join that conversation on social media.
All right, women's soccer hosting Southern Utah tonight at South Fields. The Cougars' exhibition schedule begins. You can watch it tonight on ESPN Plus, 10 p.m. Eastern Time.
After the break, oh, you're in for a treat. BYU defensive tackles coach Sione Poha, in all of his fabulous analogies, describe what he's seeing from his guys early in fall camp and why BYU will be ready to answer things on August 30th. This is BYU Sports Nation.
They worked hard in the offseason. They worked hard in January.
Is just by applying everything that we built in the offseason and then now coupling it with what we love to do. So the second that we took that field today, we hit it running and it was amazing to see.
Love to hear that. We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside the always professional Jason Shepherd. We had a chance to watch a portion of BYU football practice yesterday, and at the conclusion of that session, I spoke with BYU defensive tackles coach Sione Poha about why he's so encouraged with the defensive line specifically in spite of losing all 4 starters up front, how Keanu Tanuvasa is making the biggest impact right now, and of course, why Sione may just become the next BYU grillmaster. This is Sione Poha on BYU Sports Nation. Coach, a week into training camp, how have things changed emotionally
and physically for the guys?
I think you know, they can take an upward spike in terms of emotionally, because you got 4 weeks, and it doesn't help that they, you know, look at the countdowns on our webpage and stuff like that, and they know there's 4 more weeks. But it does put a sense of urgency, and so our goal really is now just to kind of manage those emotions and kind of let them take it in a way that they can digest it. They're super excited, but you don't want them to get really excited. We're not playing this weekend, and so you've got to divvy up that excitement. You got to be able to manage it so that's productive for them. But you know, the guys have handled it well. They're super excited for the game, but they still know that this is a building process in terms of these 3 weeks of camps, and so they're on the right track in terms of building.
You've done this a lot and broken camps into different phases of building up and getting ready for a season mode. So for those that aren't in the details and aren't aware of that, How do you transition from early days to week two to week three? Like, what things are changing in that timeline?
Yeah, and it starts from the goal end in mind, right? What is the goal at the end? So as you come in January, you got to kind of want to get guys acclimated, want to get, build a baseline in terms of their workload. You get the spring, get them familiar with the playbook, and then you get into the summer where you got to get them in condition. Now we're in fall camp, and so really the goal is we want to be ready by the end of August, right, for that first game. And so starting with that in mind, and then you kind of work backwards of where the development has to be. The common denominator between all the seasons is establishing the culture of the team, right? And for our room is making sure that the culture is staying humble and hungry to love and learn at everything that we do. And then as we just added, you know, virtue and charity, right? And just that's the common denominator you want to have across. But in terms of the end goal, now it's time to play, right? They're turning on the scoreboard, and so we want to make sure that we're in preparation for that, and then you work backwards in terms of the progression there.
You mentioned that you've added virtue and charity to the love and learn moniker, which has become so common. How would you expound on what that means to this team and how that matters for this team?
Yeah, well, you know, the great leader of our church and of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints had talked about ways that we can get better, right, was to be able to grow in character in terms of virtue and charity. And so we felt within our team, you know, that's a way that we can build our chemistry, is to be able to grow in virtue and charity. And so not only you know, doing those actions, but really understanding them and practicing them in different ways, whether it be on a third down or, you know, short and goal, or even if we're out in the community or have our true blue heroes, right? Just expanding in those ways. We build a player, we build a man, and the man is actually one that executes the play on the field. And so adding those two virtues has helped us just to become better at who we are and what we're trying to be.
It's a unique dynamic in the sport of football, which is so passionate and physical, to have those attributes. So how do you work that balance into the scheme so that you are a good football team that brings the proper physicality and dominance there? But at the end of the day, you want the young men to develop into that type of person.
Yeah, I don't think there's a difference, right, in terms of I think there is virtue and charity on a football team in a football game. It's probably not worded that way, right? But virtue and charity is probably the most purest form that we can describe those actions and those attributes. And so of course you got to be charitable with, you know, charities, caring about other people, you know, getting their backs, you know, think of yourself less of yourself than think more of other people and serving. So I mean the words are different, but I believe it's always been a core characteristic of football players about, you know, worrying about the, I mean, look at the offensive line, right? Guys who just give it up. I mean, they've got bent fingers and taped hands and everything for the sake of the quarterback, for the sake of the running backs and the receivers and the team, right? How much more of a charitable group than you can get that? So again, I believe it's been in football, but we have its purest form of, we have the purest name for it, which is virtue and charity.
Sione Puha is on BYU Sports Nation, defensive tackles coach. Let's talk about your specific group. In terms of ramping up the physicality in camp, where are we along the line in letting those guys go 100% and be as physical as they will be for a game?
Yeah, well, you know, when it comes to physicality, you always want to be physical in all phases. So when you're in the weight room, right, you got to be physical there, and right, and Coach Phyllis and the team has done a great job at just continuing to expound that characteristic with just physicality. Now it's just with X's and O's and plays and unders and overs and all those types of things. And so physicality is a nature that you want to develop in these people on how they attack things. You know, they go eat, attack your eating habits, right, attack your weights. If you got to gain weight, you got to lose weight and all those types of things. So that characteristic is something that they've always practiced. Now we're just putting X's and O's and tell them to go which direction and execution. So they've always had that physicality. We're just using X's and O's, now's and plays.
Let's talk about the specific personnel on your defensive front. Keanu Tanivasa understandably has generated a lot of interest because of his skill set and his natural leadership. So what are you seeing from Keanu as he develops into an even bigger leader for this defensive front?
Yeah, I think, you know, him, we know his voice, right? And when you have a voice like that, and anybody can have a different voice, everybody has their own unique voices. Our goal coming in this season is play your instrument the best that you can and make sure that's a unifying deal, right? It's kind of like a symphony. I mean, you got first, second, third trumpets and all that stuff, but you don't want the first trumpet to be just out there just standing out on its own. And Nu has done a great job at being a first trumpet, but also bringing in the other instruments to be able to, for him to complement them and them to complement each other. And I think as everybody sees that, and Glasker, right? He's a first trumpet too. I mean, you got Jack Kelly, got great players on the team that now it's all about a cohesion and playing as 11 group. Now it's time to play as an orchestra.
You replace all four starters along the defensive front. Coach Papinga handles the edges. You handle the interior with the tackles. But it doesn't feel like you're in panic mode. Like a lot, it's hard not to be in panic mode when you lose all four starters. So why do you feel so confident in this group up front that they can get the job done?
Yeah, well, that mindset starts in the beginning in January, right? When you get all the players and you're kind of thinking, you really think forward and say, I don't want to be handling this problem now, right? The problem and solutions came really in January and say, okay, we got a whole new group. So what do we got to do? What do we got to build? Then you start to build. Then you start to teach. Then you start to practice. And then you start to make it their nature of how they play. And so that's been a long process since January, building these guys up. We're just, you know, right before the starting line starts with the gun starting line happens. But we've prepared this from the very beginning. And then we've had spring ball, and then the players had PUP, and then we've had, you know, send out playbooks and all that stuff. So, you know, the first day they came to camp wasn't the first time they looked at the playbook. It really is just a continuation of their development and evolution as a player.
How do you feel about the overall depth of the defensive tackle group at this point?
Yeah, Phil. Very well. Yeah, I feel great about it. I was talking about, you want to have three sets of starters, right? And there cannot be any kind of fall off that you have in there. And so, you know, having those three sets of guys that can make things happen really, really gives Jay the ability to call what he needs to call, and really gives us the ability to just go out and play, right? It doesn't matter which group it is. And I've been kind of familiar playing in a system where you've had people behind you, or you've been a backup to someone where there's never a fall off. And so that's what we want to create in terms of this depth. And I feel that we're on track for that.
How close to the three sets of starters are you right now?
Yeah, I think we're two for sure, right? We're two for sure. We got to find that third group. We got a lot of young guys coming in, but, you know, at the same time, just having that whole group play as a group, whether it be one or two, but that's how confident I feel and what I would say we're at.
Along with Keanu Tanuvasa, who are some of the other names that maybe BYU fans aren't as familiar with that they should know about that are in those two to three starting sets?
Yeah, I mean, everybody has a contribution and everybody's still building, right? There's a lot that can happen. If we're playing tomorrow, I could probably give you some names, right? But we still got like 2.5 weeks of development, of installation, guys lifting, guys practicing. But all the young guys have come in, from Ulevi to Kelepi to Kendall Wall. I mean, all these to Maverick McManus. These are new guys that have come in. They've done a real good job at just taking the playbook. And then the guys that we have now with Justin Kirtland, with Keanu Tanvasa, with JT, with Anisi Purcell. I mean, all these guys just come together and just developing in their own way. Great thing is we don't play tomorrow, so we'd have to make a statement on that. But once we get there, I know that whole group collectively will be better than they are today.
Who has been the surprise of the camp thus far in your group?
I don't think there's really a person that's been surprising, because they've all made progress. What I've been proud of, though, is how they've kind of taken over the nature of playing defensive line in the system, right? Today, I went really crazy about Anisi just on a screen, right, just redirecting back. And I'm like, Coach, man, you were so happy. And it was just like, he gets it, right? They get it. And so that's what you want. I mean, you don't want them to do what you're telling them to do. You want them to do what they instinctively feel is right within the scheme of the defense. So for me, That's the most proud moment of mine, you know, at this point. Nothing really surprising, because we know the guys are recruit. We've had a relationship. We know how they – but when they start to really take that over, man, it's really exciting.
A couple of quick hitters to close out. What are you most excited about when it comes to the general BYU defense in 2025?
Man, just the guys who go out there and to display what they've worked hard for. Right? They worked hard in the offseason. They worked hard in January. And it's not only just the physical stuff, but right, the chemistry of the team coming together. And so you can talk about different concepts. You can draw it out on the board. You can watch videos. But when they turn on the scoreboard, the bullets are live, right? And so now to see them perform under pressure when the scoreboard's on and this thing's going to be written in ink forever, right? It's going to be exciting to see them come together and apply the things that you've asked them, both schematically and culturally.
Okay, and then quickly, you mentioned attacking eating. How are you attacking eating right now?
Well, I need I need to attack the workouts, actually. Yeah, it's I've kind of grown, you know, I'm kind of thinking, man, I got to suit up with you guys. I'm 330 pounds, but I got to keep losing weight. I'm just looking over here at these Traegers, man, and it doesn't help a lot, right? But other than that, you know, I love attack eating. I think chicken Alfredo's on the menu a little bit, and then I got to throw a little bit of grilled shrimp. Got to have the grill on there because the garlic and the butter from the grilled shrimp adds to the Alfredo, man. So, little known secret, that's how you attack it.
We need to get this man in front of a grill right now. Coach, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Go Cougs.
Are you kidding me? Grilled shrimp and Alfredo, Jason? We're going to Brick Oven after this?
Look, I'm going to practice. That's where I'm going.
Touche. Touche. Sione Puha on the defensive tackles. Really thought it was interesting that he said, okay, I want six guys. I want three sets of starters up front. He feels like he for sure has two sets of starters, trying to figure out who that third set will be. And they want to do this so they can rotate in a bunch of guys so that BYU can mitigate some of the problems when you lose guys.
Right.
And then you just have rookies and everyone's too wide-eyed. Like, they want a lot of guys to play so that they feel like there is a seamless transition year to year.
Well, and I think we've started to see that over the last couple of seasons anyway, where you're mixing in guys. Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, one of the programs on campus that has done the best job of that is women's soccer. Coach Rockwood has done a fantastic job of when you get these young players in, these young inexperienced players, you mix them in with the other veterans. And then by the time it's up to them, they've had, you know, they're sort of battle tested.
Yep.
And I like that mentality, especially in football, in a sport that's so physical, and you know that injuries are just a part of everything. I like that mentality, and it will serve all of these players well to be able to have that type of opportunity.
Just make sure you attack your eating, okay? Attack your eating. All right, Shep. Let's keep it rolling, man.
Let us keep it rolling. If I can find my place in the...
Oh, no, you're good. I got you,
thank
bro.
Thank you. The script moved on me.
If you miss any interviews,
I got
shows,
it. Can I finish it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Can.
If you miss any interviews, shows, or Deep Blues, you can find them on BYUSN.com or download the BYU TV app to get all the BYU Sports Nation content on demand.
And after the break, BYU women's basketball just got their entire non-conference schedule. We'll tell you who's on it, why it matters for months like March, and which BYU football star is turning heads in the offseason. A full edition of Headlines after this.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jason Shepherd. And these are your midweek Wednesday headlines.
BYU football fall camp continues today, team photo day. So everybody say cheese. There will be media availability afterward. And speaking of after practice yesterday, head coach Kalani Sitake addressed the media.
A lot of good things. First time in full pads, so that was, it was good to get some tackling in, get some tackling drills, all that stuff. So we're pleased with the way the team's working. Obviously, we had some mistakes. Just make sure those mistakes don't show up tomorrow and show up in the next practice. That's going to be the goal.
Listen, Kalani is very much in camp mode, is he not?
Yeah.
It's just very, very simple thing. Just win the moment, win the day. Never too high, never
well,
too
low. Well, and what he said, look, everyone's going to make mistakes, but you got to correct the mistakes. You can't keep seeing the same mistakes over and over again.
He knows what he's doing.
Yes, he certainly
does. 10 seasons in.
Yes, he does.
BYU senior receiver Chase Roberts also knows what he is doing. He's named to the 2025 Biletnikoff Award preseason watch list. This is the award that, on an annual basis, is given to the most outstanding pass catcher in all of college football.
BYU women's basketball announced their 25-26 non-conference schedule this morning. Cougars begin with an exhibition matchup on October 28th at home against Western Colorado. Regular season starts November 5th at the Marriott Center versus Coastal Carolina. There's also a matchup against Washington State at the Delta Center on the 3rd of December. That's part of a BYU Hoops doubleheader where the men will face Cal Baptist that night. You can go check out the entire schedule either on our screen or at BYUCougars.com.
Jason, I love that opportunity against Oregon State and Vanderbilt in late November. That could be good. Also, you get a trip to the Virgin Islands, so good for you!
It's a business trip. It is a business trip.
Business trip.
Yeah.
BYU Women's Soccer hosting Southern Utah tonight at Southfield. It's part of the exhibition schedule, which continues. Watch it on ESPN+. Late start, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 Mountain kick.
Yesterday, NBC announced a partnership with the Big 12. Starting this season, Peacock will stream 20 exclusive Big 12 men's basketball games as part of a multi-year agreement. How about that?
So NBC, our good friend Hemahe Mooley pointed this out on social media.
Basketball.
Let's go.
Look, you haven't heard the last of old Dave Tesh.
Oh, I love it so much. Former Batcat Justin Sterner pitched one scoreless inning yesterday, no hits, no runs in the Athletics 16-7 win over the Nationals. Do they have a city yet? Las Vegas A's yet?
No, they're just the Athletics.
They're just the Athletics.
And apparently people in Sacramento hate the fact that Oakland fans show up, that it's not a Sacramento crowd. Serious, I'm being serious.
Oh, I think our good friend Roxy Bernstein, who was called a bunch of A's games, he's like, I think they're calling the Oak Tento A's. Because Oakland and Sacramento, just combine the two cities.
Sure, why not?
Come on, let's go.
All right, and just a little bit ago, the all-Big 12 preseason women's volleyball team was announced. BYU had three players on that team. Claire Little Chambers, Alex Bauer, and Brielle Kimivore were on that. BYU incoming freshman Suli Davis also made the cut as the Big 12 volleyball preseason freshman of the year. And how about this? The Cougs picked to win the Big 12.
Picked to win it! I told Jason when I found out, don't know how I feel about it, but those are the expectations. Come on, it's Heather Olmstead's crew. You know they're going to be good. They have every opportunity to go and win that conference championship. After the break, BYU women's basketball star Mariah Hudgens and her assistant coach John Wardenburg in studio to discuss the release of that non-conference schedule. How do they feel about the Virgin Islands? And chocolate chip cookies, for that matter. This is BYUSN.
Cycling to Hudgens for another. Hudgens ready to shoot. Nails it from three. Hudgens. Big bucket. Block shot by Hudgens. Hudgens has knocked down her first two three-point shots. Rick Trigger three from Mariah Hudgens.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jason Shepard. And as promised, we now welcome in assistant women's basketball coach John Wardenburg and one of the team stars, Mariah Hudgens, with us. Good to have you both in Studio B.
Yes, thanks. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
And a fitting time because we just revealed the entirety of the non-conference schedule. So now you have the full rundown. Coach, we'll start with you. When you look at it top to bottom, how do you feel about the always tricky balance of the schedule?
Really feel, you know, we feel like we've done a great job of getting teams that are going to test us and prepare us, obviously, for the Big 12. We have a good mix of road games, good mix of home games. Have a nice little trip to the Virgin Islands mixed into that thing. And it's fun. It's going to be a great schedule. It's going to prepare us in everything, every way to get ready for the Big 12. So we're excited about it.
Just make sure Shep brings his sunblock for the Virgin Islands,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
Trust me. Look at this. Look at this skin tone right here. I'm going to need as much as I can possibly get.
No tough lessons this time around, okay, Shep?
Yeah. What does go in? How much work goes into putting one of these non-conference schedules together?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a lot like dating. Okay, I'm just going to tell you that right now. And when you're as ugly as I am, you get a lot of experience trying to, because it's not like, I mean, you're calling people and it's not like they're, oh, yeah, we'll go play a Big 12 team, for example, or we're not going to the Marriott Center, or they call us and we're like, no, we're not traveling for one game to LSU or whatever. So you got to find teams that A, want to play you, and B, fit the mix. A lot of teams right now, for example, in buy games are using that money for NIL money purposes. So they want top dollar we're not, you know, we're not going to pay exorbitant amount of money to get teams. So it's a lot of work, and then try to fit it in with everybody's schedule, their schedule, ours. Do we play three games a week, two? Do we have time off in between? How about the girls? Are we, you know, how do we care for them and make sure? So we're excited about this schedule, really are.
Mariah, what do you like most about specifically the non-conference portion of the schedule? Because it's been a while, but now it's official.
Yes, I mean, it's super exciting. I think we have a schedule that's going to set us up for success in the Big 12, so I'm super excited. I'm most excited to play at Portland on my birthday. All my family's from Oregon, so that'll be super fun to have a like family reunion there, but it'll be super exciting.
A birthday family reunion?
Yes.
It's a lot happening emotionally
yes,
there.
Lot.
I've also got to imagine that regardless of who was on the schedule, you were going to be super excited to play after coming off the injury. You played seven games last year. I know you've worked really, really hard to get back and ready for this year. How excited are you to be able to be back on the floor?
Yes, I'm so excited. I mean, I've put a lot of work in the offseason, specifically this summer. We're only allowed 8 weeks, but I've stayed around for 14 weeks now just with our freshmen, especially just kind of putting in the work on the off season, like in the weight room, doing extra conditioning, getting up shots to make sure that I'm ready and at full go once season comes around.
You've both mentioned preparing for Big 12 conference play because it is a grind. Mm-hmm. And certainly the non-conference, you want to be able to allow you to do that. That said, there's also the tricky NCAA tournament component and wanting to have a strong enough resume because the committee values non-conference strength of schedule so much. So, Coach, how much thought process went into that portion of piecing together this schedule and finding the right partner in your dating scenario?
Well, there is a lot that goes into that, and what's their net idea, you know, what's their net number, all those kind of things. For example, the Portland game that Mariah brought up. Portland presses. They play a zone. Well, that's going to help us a little bit down the road against West Virginia, for example, when we play them. So there is a lot. We're just trying to win games. Like, we have a goal. And we're not, I mean, Lee can talk about all that stuff, but our team, we just are trying as hard as we can this year to get in the NCAA tournament. And we're going to play our way into that. Winning games, winning in the Big 12. Having, for example, Mariah back is absolutely huge for us. I will tell you both that having her hurt last year really hurt us overall throughout the rest of the season, her toughness, her ability to make shots, rebounding, and having her back and leading. She's not going to say it, but her leadership has been absolutely on point all summer long. So. But, it goes into it, but we got to just win. Just win. That's all it's about.
Well, and Mariah, besides you coming back, obviously you do have some returning players, but there are a lot of new faces on this roster, a lot of very young, mm-hmm. talented freshmen coming in, some transfers. Mm-hmm. Give me an idea. Give our viewers and listeners an idea of what this team is like, because you guys have obviously gone through the summer workouts and things mm-hmm. like that. Talk about this team and the vibe around this group.
Yeah, I mean, it's been awesome. So for my first 8 weeks, I was with all of the girls who are going to be coming back. So it was really cool to kind of be back in the flow of things with them. I feel like we all bring a lot of experience, fight, and intensity. I mean, everyone is a different player, so it's kind of cool to see us all mesh together. And then as I've stuck around, I've had the opportunity to be with all of our freshmen and then Lara, who's our one transfer. So, I mean, it's just been cool to kind of see them learn our system. I mean, I'm also learning a new system with Coach Lee, so just kind of being able to see what they're able to bring to us and kind of be able to balance between what our returners are going to bring and our freshmen and transfer are going to bring. It's been super cool to kind of see the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
John Wardenburg, assistant women's basketball coach, and one of his stars, Mariah Hudgens, on BYU Sports Nation. Last year, and I know that there's some emotional tension there because you're so close in so many games, mm-hmm. and I heard several of your teammates and you coaches talk about, we just have to learn how to win in those clutch moments. Teams just have to sometimes have to have growing pains to go through that, to learn how to win when it gets really tough late in the game. So how do you simulate something like that in practice and learn from those tough lessons last year to make you feel like you are going to take that big next step forward?
Well, I think in team sports, especially, the adage of get old, stay old is so important. And to have Mariah back, to have, in her experience, to have Brinley Cannon back and Cambry Barber and Delaney, girls that have been through this, and Hattie, and we just have a good group of, and then Heather and, you know, Ari, you know, is coming back off of 2 years, has been around, but we have a good group of experienced players, and then these new freshmen that we brought in and transfers, Lara and these freshmen, they just bring a joy. I don't know what the right word is, but they just have brought a great enthusiasm to play. And I'll tell you the other thing that I really love, and she's probably heard this before, but I love chocolate chip cookies, okay? But we have a great mix of sugar and flour and salt and
butter, lots of butter.
We have all the ingredients, and that's what makes this team fun, I think. We just have a great mix of different ingredients that I believe is really going to show people and surprise people this year.
Well, I'll be using that analogy for the next 7 months.
Who else wants cookies right now? Anybody else?
I'm just saying, I don't even have a deal with anybody, but I'm just, but it's true. If you have too many of one type of player, it just, you have a ceiling that you can get to. I think with this group, we have so many different types of players and different strengths and different abilities that I'm really excited for the future.
When the men's non-conference schedule came out, one of the things that everybody looked at was the fact that they're going to play three games at the Delta Center. You guys are also going to get to play a game at the Delta Center. It'll be the first time since 2012 that BYU women's basketball will play at that arena. It'll be part of a really cool doubleheader where the women will play earlier and the men will play at night. What a great opportunity. And I know you probably love the fact you get to play on an NBA court.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it's super awesome just being able to play at that stage. I mean, everyone loves BYU sports in Utah, so I know that it'll be really cool to have us play and then the men play right after. I think there will be a good fan base there.
Yeah. That's a really cool opportunity for both programs.
We're so thankful, Shep, to the Jazz organization, to our administration for allowing us to do this. It's a great opportunity. Part of, you ask about scheduling, there's another thing. You know, you have Thanksgiving, but then that first week of December, we don't get into the Marriott Center because of Christmas around the world. The following week, second week of December, is finals. So we try to avoid, and it's hard to find games. And the fact that we can go to the Delta Center on the 3rd on Wednesday and play there and, you know, not have to travel far, it's a great opportunity. We're thankful. We really are.
We'll finish with this. Coach, you've been close with Lee Kamard for a long time. You've coached him. You've watched him ascend through the ranks now that he is in the coaching profession. Why do you feel like he is ready for this moment?
Well, from the, you know, I recruited him, signed him, our staff, but followed that dude around for a long, long time, for 2 years. And the one thing that has always stood out for me with Lee is he doesn't really care about the name on the back, but he loves BYU and he loves basketball and he loves these girls and he has that passion that is really going to make a difference for him. I think the sky's the limit for him in terms of this coaching profession because of how hard he works, the passion he has, and how, you know, the love he has for his players. So that's a good combo.
We appreciate you both being here. John Wardenberg is looking for an NIL deal with Crumble Cookies. Hey, Mrs. Fields, whatever.
We'll take anything.
I'll get on that for you.
Yeah. Mariah wants in on that action too. Okay, very good. Joking aside, we appreciate both you being here and are super excited for your season. Let's give you some BYU Sports Nation karma to go and crush it.
Thanks. Thank you.
Get ready to tip it off.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. Up next, we wrap up the show with a rise and shout out to an elite former Coug, NFL swagger, Jason. But doing it the right way is a family man. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. What is the number one chip on the shoulder motivational factor for BYU football this season? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare, elevated in from our good friend Cougar Stats on X, who says, being 10 yards short of an undefeated season last year. Yeah, that'll motivate you. Yeah. Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about this? Fred Warner and his son camp for the Niners, hanging out. That is what it's all about right
Fred
there.
Fred said it's his favorite part of the day. We understand. Our thanks to today's guests, Sione Puha, Mariah Hudgens, and John Wardenberg.
Conversation continues 24-7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook.
For Jason, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Byron Rex. Go Cougs!